How am I sounding there, Doug? Pretty decent. Okay, so because we have so many friends from all over the place, I got to give you the quick 10-second catch-up as to where we are here. So we're working through as a church. Can I come down a little bit, or is it just where I'm sitting? Come down just to, oh, there, see, and then I can be, when I get excited, I won't blast you all out of your chairs. So over the last few weeks and a few more weeks to come, we've been going through this series called Believe. And Randy Frazee is the writer of it. And it goes through all sorts of just the basics of what we believe, which leads into how we should act and how we worship. And it basically covers all of the Christian life. And so today, my goal is to present to you with the scriptures and some of the structure and framework from this chapter on how we spend our time. So offering my time, we've talked about all sorts of how we can worship God with giving, how we can worship God with using our spiritual gifts, those things that he's made us naturally good at, our gifts, our talents, and our abilities, and the such. And so today we're talking about how we can offer our time to God in order to sort of bless him and bless the community. And so at the beginning of this chapter, I'm not going to steal everything from the chapter in case you want to read along with it, but I did take Randy's little blurb of what he wants you to walk away with today. And in Bible school, a lot of people taught us never just give them that chunk that they can take and then they can just tune you out for the rest of the time. But it's a long weekend. I know it's sunny, and we've got the 40 minutes, and I plan on taking them, and I want to journey with you. But take this, you know, like the scripture says, eat it, let it be sweet on your lips. It might, you know, be bitter in your stomach, but that means that you're digesting it and you're going to get the nutrients from it, okay? So here it is. It'll be up on the screen too. Randy says this, in summary of what I want to do today, believe is an action verb. Whatever we believe in our hearts will be expressed in the way that we live. Beliefs such as the church, compassion, and stewardship naturally lead to the practice of offering our time to God to accomplish his purposes. And every time we act on this key spiritual practice, even if our hearts are not totally committed, it helps us to drive those beliefs from our heads to our hearts. So we act out of our beliefs in faith. And I think that that's something that Pastor Trevor and I have, you know, we've used that illustration a few times. Moving this series and the reason we're doing this is because we want to move some of this, you know, cerebral knowledge that we've gained up here, and we want to sift it down and let it settle in our hearts, because from our hearts, this is where we serve, this is where, you know, what we've really learned, the deepest part of us, this is where it flows out of. And so I wanted to share that with you, and I like that sometimes, he says this, sometimes our hearts won't be in it, was sort of in the middle of that. And we have to do it anyways. We have to act out in faith. And I thought that that was something that was really cool because that sort of leads to that illustration. So I'll make myself look like the bad guy so that you all can sort of have a jump-off point of maybe a time that you haven't wanted to give your time to God, or maybe you were there serving God and you sort of muddled it up. So for those of you who live in Calgary, you'll know there's a homeless shelter, a soup kitchen called the Mustard Seed. And I remember, I think it was grade 9, and I was at it would have been grade 10 Christian high school. And I said, yeah, you know, we got to go and serve. We got to go give some time to the Lord. And I thought, oh, awesome. You know, I'm going to be really good at serving soup, right? This is easy. Bowl me. Scoop me. Here you go. Have a nice day. You know, this is easy. I can serve God in this way. You know, this will be walk in the park. And we get down there. Okay, you five, you're in the kitchen. You five, you're sorting. And you two are left. So you're on bathroom duty. And I was like, oh, God, like, why I have to clean the bathroom? I don't like doing it at my own house when it's my own, you know, elimination. Like, why do I have to serve you in this way, right? And that attitude was there. And so maybe that's a time when I was giving God my time, but I had the wrong attitude, right? But we can learn from that, okay? I did learn from that. And then there's another time that we had made this commitment to spending time with God during the week. You know, small group ministries, you know how that is. And we try to get involved in those. And I remember coming home, I think my wife and I, Kira, we were both tired at the end of the day. And
I probably slapped together some Kraft dinner, first year of marriage, you know, hot dogs and Kraft dinner, and she's like, oh, come on, you know, what's this guy cooking for dinner? This is no good. Well, there's, you know, maybe some salad, we'll slap that in there and smash it all together, and they're not supposed to, you can't, her stuff can't touch, right? And so maybe some offhanded comment, and now we're arguing a little bit, it's sort of fun, but we're, and I have permission to tell you this, right, because I'm, again, the bad guy, but, you know, and so we've got to go, and we've got to go, and we've got to be with the Christians. And we're sort of arguing at dinner, and we sort of think, okay, we're driving to the thing. And I said to her kind of sassy, like, I'm going to tell them we were arguing and that I don't want to be here. You know, just like a three-year-old child would. And she just so humbly and graciously said, you do what you need to do, Matt. You know, and she's, because I'm not driving because we'd be there. Like, I would get there. And sure enough, you know, we're pouting with each other, and we get on the knock, knock, knock on the door. Oh, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. You know, we all fake it like that, right? And so we get in there, and we do the, we're eating cookies and Mountain Dew, whatever. We're young adults, so it's Mountain Dew, not coffee, because it's whatever. And we go upstairs, and we do the circle time, and I'm on this end, because we always work this way. I said, I don't want to start, because I'm just going to bummer everybody out, and I'm going to embarrass myself, because that's what my wife knows this is going to happen. And sure enough, we get around, and everybody's, oh, I'm happy about this, and we're maybe going to have a baby there, and oh, we're getting a dog, and everyone's so happy. And I just said, I don't want to be here. We're arguing before we came here. I'm faking it. I'm not happy to be here. I don't want to be here. I look across the circle, and this other young lady just, she starts crying, and she stands up, and she comes, I don't want to be here either, you know, and she gives me this hug, and we sort of, all of a sudden, we realized it was like, you know, sometimes we have to be honest. We've given this time to God, and sometimes it's hard to go. Sometimes it's easy. Some Tuesdays, I couldn't wait for work to get done so that I could get to be with those friends and eat those cookies and Mountain Dew, obviously. You know, sometimes that's really fun, but sometimes we don't want to do it, and we have to act in faith. And, you know, if I hadn't have acted in faith, I wouldn't have a story that was lighthearted to share with you to sort of draw us into that, right? Sometimes we have to fake it. Sometimes we get there and we complain in that time. But, you know, serving those people, the thing that I walked away from that mustard seed was, you know, that's some of the only private space that those men and women have for the, whatever, 10 or 15 minutes that they have. And why not make sure that it's nice and crystal clean so that they can enjoy the little bit of privacy that they have? You know, so those are a couple of walkaways that I had. And if I didn't walk in faith and I didn't do this, I wouldn't have this illustration. If I didn't have an accountability partner, for those of us who aren't married, this doesn't necessarily have to be a spouse, but it's a partner to push us to act in faith. Right? Accountability partners, somebody that can push you to continue to act in faith, someone who can say, hey, I think you had an opportunity and you missed it. Those are great sort of speed bumps that we can have, okay? So this morning we're going to look at a piece of scripture in the book. Just sort of take, we're in Colossians 3:17. But I liked sort of like a bigger chunk of the chapter, so I want to read a bigger chunk of the chapter. And we're going to read that. But this, let me say this, okay? This is not my word. This is not something that I've sort of conjured up, you know, shook the Bible out, and this is what I have. This is what I really believe that God's word is saying. And I've really tried very hard to keep to the scriptures, and I hope that we can just sort of open God's word, and it can be what speaks to you to this morning with these things in mind. That's my hope. We invite the Spirit before you all get here. We pray for you that you can forget what's coming and what's for lunch and that we can just focus in on these scriptures, okay? So let's read it together. It will be on the screen if you want to follow along up there. If not, you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles. Should be some in front of you, but here we go. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and that life is now hidden in Christ God, or with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Those things include sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things like anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Get it off of your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in the following: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Then you can let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, and as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, through hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, here's our key, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity in heart and reverence. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Matthew 25:4 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. So I know, friends, that this morning that's a big chunk, but I think that it speaks to that idea of accountability, that we've got to work with each other. We're neither Jew or Gentile, believer, unbeliever, whatever we want to do there. When we come into this place, we're a community of people that want to hear from Jesus Christ. We want to learn about who he is and what he has for us, and so here we are. I'm sure I could pull these pieces apart and preach, you know, for 10 weeks on just this passage, but today we want to use it to build a framework to use our time effectively for God. Last week, Pastor Trevor reminded us about using our gifts and talents and skills that God gave us. The wisdom that was taught last week that we need to keep soaking in and marinating in and allowing God to reveal himself to us, in us, and through us, okay, so that we can turn it around and use our time to serve others. So, when we come to the book, we have three kind of ideas that we want to cover each week. There's a key question, and that question is, how do I best use my time to serve God and others? There's an idea that is designed to try to help answer the question, which is, offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. And then this key verse that whatever you're doing, whatever that time to fulfill God's purposes, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that leads me to the answering the key question. And so last week we discovered that the gifts and talents and skills that Christ has given us allow us to bless or edify or to build up, to support the body of Christ, right? This is why God, if I'm summarizing last week well enough for those who haven't been here, we looked at spiritual gifts that come from God instilled in us. This is what they're in us for: to bless, to edify, to build up, and to support the body of Christ. Now, these gifts and these talents that God has given us also help us to evangelize, to be hospitable, to be a God-honoring community. And this is not just for the people who have the gift of evangelism, right? This is something that is required of all of us, whether it's gifts of service, prophecy, whatever these look like, they're used all to glorify and build the kingdom, okay? But the most important that we read in this last passage that we all need to imitate Christ in is his, who has it? Christ's love, right? In verse 14, it says, over all of these virtues, compassion, humility, gentleness, kindness, over all of these things, not that these other things are less important, but remember the love that Christ gave and allow Christ's love to bind all those things together to allow you to bless the community, okay? So, last week, we got this cool idea of an illustration of this aroma that rises from the believers to bless God that's deeply rooted in some Old Testament stuff that I'm kind of a nerd for. So I sort of wanted to back us up, and I want to walk us through a little bit of this Old Testament, how they worshiped God, how Paul, in this letter and in some of his writings, plays on these ideas of sacrificing our time, and then how that works for us in sacrificing our time today. So I sort of want to give like a brief. I want to go old, I want to go sort of New Testament, and then I want to apply it today with golf balls and rice. Okay, so we do have we have the fun youth pastor-y tangible things that we can do. Okay, so here we go. Illustration of offerings as worship. So worship is the key here. In the key question, how do we use our time to serve God? Well, we offer our time in worship to fulfill God's purposes. So in the Old Testament, have a few references here to keep in mind that there was no temple, there was no tabernacle yet, okay? The temple and the tabernacle, for those who are sort of not familiar with these things, would be the equivalent of our physical church here today. A place where God's people can come, they can sing, they can shake hands and welcome each other here, they can make their offerings, and they can read the scriptures together, right? This is what they had. But we've got it up on the screen here so you can follow with me. In Noah's world, near the very beginning, there wasn't even a traveling tabernacle, okay? There wasn't a physical place for him to go and to make an offering to correct the wrongdoings or to meet with God. So he builds an altar in order to sacrifice to God so he can give true and proper worship. And that took time. For those of us who ever tried to, you know, put stones and pile them in a right way so that they make sort of a table-like structure. You've got to find the right stones. You've got to balance them out. It's hard work to put them all together and to get them to look like something that is sort of beautiful and worthy of spending time in front of, right? You know, it's just a pile of stones. It doesn't look beautiful and nice, okay? So Noah had to create this space. In Moses' time, God showed himself in different ways. We saw burning bush, we saw clouds that led them through the desert, manna from the sky, and all these kinds of things, but we saw a traveling tabernacle. So rather than a building that was rooted in one place that we all come to, rather they kept a tent that as they traveled and they moved along, they had a sort of a portable building, if you would, where they could come and meet with God, make these offerings, and worship him, okay? And then if we move a few hundred years a little bit farther, you're going to read through David and Solomon and the building of this temple, where there's an outer court and an inner court and, you know, all these majesty embroidered everywhere, golden candlesticks, pools for baptism, all sorts of these beautiful things to remind God's people when they come to worship all of the promises that God has for them. But it was time and effort put into it, all the skills and gifts and abilities that it took from the community of God to put all of this stuff together in order to be able to worship. And one of the key things that they had to do, God's people, Israel, that they had to do in the temple was offer these burnt offerings. Remember I was talking about aroma. This aroma comes off of us that people can, it is a metaphor, okay? I want you to wear deodorant. I don't want people to smell you literally. We're talking metaphorically when you clothe yourself in compassion and grace and kindness. People are going to notice that something's different, and rather than just seeing something different, the scriptures are talking about smelling this sweet aroma, and I'm going to tie that together in the scripture here, okay? So these burnt offerings, this costly possession that they had to bring to temple and offer to God in worship, whether it was a crop that was burnt as sacrifice, right? We know we burn it and the smoke rises, okay? And in scriptures, most often we're going to see it was a bull, it was a calf, it was a lamb. Pay attention to the lamb one, okay? promise. It comes in handy later. And sometimes even pigeons, okay? And the lamb specifically comes up over and over and over through scriptures. But this surrendering of an animal to God shows this obedience. It shows faith. It shows that they took the time to understand their relationship with God and bring him something that was valuable to lay it at his feet. And so what they did was they offered it and they burnt it. So, to back up what I was just talking about with Noah and Moses and Ezekiel, bang, I've got them for you here, okay? We go all the way back in Genesis 8:21. Noah offers his sacrifice and the Lord smelt the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I'm never going to curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from youth, and I'll never again destroy every living thing as I have done. And then we come to Moses' time. He shall then bring Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take it from his handful of its fine flour. See, here we see something different, not just an animal, but fine flour and oil with its frankincense. And the priests will offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar. And the offering by fire is a soothing aroma to the Lord. You see, we bring these valuable things to the Lord, we lay them at his feet, and with the metaphor, we go along, we light it on fire, and it rises up to the heavens, you know, and the heavens are above, and this is where the smoke rises, and the Lord resides up here in their world, and so this is where we get this offering to the Lord. The last one, as a soothing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out of the peoples to gather from the lands where you are scattered, and I will prove myself holy among you in sight of the nations. Okay, so Matt, you get really excited about Old Testament stuff, but how about us who sort of don't really know what you're talking about? This soothing aroma thing, I tried to explain it in another way, but I had to do it with the youth group. How about a sunburn and aloe vera? Think about, how do we get it? When we sin, God gets a sunburn. Okay, we do bad things, we tell lies, we worship other gods, and this burns God's skin if he had skin. Just play along with me a little bit, okay? And then in order to make right with God, burning his skin, we bring him some aloe vera, which is soothing, right? Does that sort of make sense? You know, if God had skin, we bring him something that will help make reparations or repair, okay? The aloe vera in this case is our sacrifice. And then when we jump ahead, so this is what it looked like in the Old Testament. And so now when Paul is writing all of his letters to all of these different churches in all of these areas, they're good Jews, or they've converted, and they know all these rituals, they know all these laws, they've read all of those books and understand how all of these offerings work. And so Paul starts using these ideas like this, giving our bodies as worship. You know, this is a reference that most of us in the 21st century, you know, or most of us that have lived over here in the Western Hemisphere, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. We don't see this often when someone sins and they bring a calf to the church and wash it and clean it, the innards and get rid of that and burn something to the Lord. We don't see this. Sometimes we see this still in other cultures and other religions where they burn incense or something that we do that can remind us, what are they called, the natural oils, essentials, right? These essential oils. That might be another image that you can get in your head. It's a soothing aroma that reminds us to take a breath and relax, lavender. Or breathe in eucalyptus and clear your mind. You know, these kinds of things, right? Not that they're bad. I'm not saying that they're bad. This is an idea. And Paul says, instead of offering these things, offer your bodies. Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. In view of God's mercy, shown through Jesus Christ, the man who laid his life down to cleanse us from our sins as a sacrifice on our behalf. We gave God a sunburn, and Jesus brought the aloe vera. We sinned, Jesus was the lamb. Is that making sense? Do I need to stand up? We come all the way back here. I'm Israel. I worship the golden calf, and God gets mad, and so I have to bring a proper calf and burn it. Now I'm forgiven. And then we get to come here, and I worship the golden calf again, and Jesus comes and dies on a cross. Now I'm forgiven. And here we are at this time going, well, Matt, I'm not, you know, going to burn a calf. I've surrendered myself to the Lord. So here I am. Jesus Christ has been a lamb. We don't have to die. Christ died in our place. This is the heart of the gospel. You heard this before? Christ has died. He poured out his blood. The Lamb of God, a sacrifice that forgives all sin. We've heard the ideas that Jesus Christ has fulfilled these things. He hasn't come to abolish these things. He's come to fulfill them. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That's a fulfillment of that old Testament stuff. Hebrews 10:12, when Christ had offered for all a single sacrifice for sins, he sits down at the right hand of God. This is why I get so excited, because sometimes when we read some of what Paul says, we're going, what the heck is a Passover lamb? You know, we don't understand what some of that, we don't always understand that that's the old story in Moses bringing God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and just all this, you know, these beautiful covenants that God has made with his people. And we get here and we go, well, now Paul's saying that we need to offer ourselves, offer our time, offer our service and our gifts, and that when we do that, it's sort of like a metaphor of burning that stuff, and that's a soothing aroma to God. Have I gone too fast, or is that sort of making sense? Are we tracking a little bit with that? Bang, bang, bang. Here we are. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb. You don't have to die on a cross. Jesus did that for you. We get here. What we have to do is understand Jesus died on the cross in our place and let that sacrifice be all over us, and then go and serve everyone in compassion and kindness and binded by love, and let that be pleasing and lift up to the Lord. Okay? It really is kind of simple, but I just get so excited about all that old stuff, and I just did a couple classes on all the... Anyways... It's not there. We're not there, okay? So we can't just lean on some of our New Testament writings. We got to remember what happened back there, because God institutes it way back there, then God shows us how he fulfills it, and then he commissions us to go and duplicate, okay? So we're people that need to be accountable with our time. We know that this is true. Here's the application part. We know that this is true at work, at home, on vacation, so why wouldn't it be true that we need to offer our time to God? We need to be accountable with our time that we worship, that we spend in the Word, maybe devotions, sharing with our friends. Keep going, okay? We had the greeting this morning. We did it, right? We know God is good. And all the time, God is good, you know, all the time, not just sometimes when you are at the mustard seed, not just sometimes when you're going to a small group time, okay? God is good all the time, so all the time, we gotta try to imitate that. And sometimes this means that we're gonna miss out on what we want to do in order to attend to something that God wants us to do. Sometimes you might hear your pastor or a preacher call these the divine appointments, right? Meetings that God sets up for us throughout our day. Sometimes they're spontaneous. Sometimes, you know, I buried a friend's dog, and he used to listen to the Luke Bryan song, I'm going to sit right here on the edge of this pier and drink a beer or something, you know, it's country music. But every time that stinking song comes on, I cry, because I remember driving out to the farm with my buddy, and this song comes on, and his dog's in the back, and we're driving to the farm in the truck to bury the dog, and every time, I just remember, it's almost like a divine, it has nothing to do with Jesus, but it reminds me of a relationship that I have with somebody. Right, these divine appointments. Sometimes there'll be weird coincidences. Sometimes it's that person that you really don't, you know, you're walking along and on the street. I do it this way sometimes because I'll just imitate it. Oh, there's Kira, I'm just going to do this while I, you know, or oh, hello, yeah, you know, and they're gone, so I can, you know what I mean, as we're passing each other, and we sort of like, but sometimes it's those people that God is putting in you. I'm calling somebody, you can hear it. Don't do that. Just saying, it's sometimes God puts those people. Sometimes God puts those people, and I don't mean to make a joke of it. Sometimes God puts those people in there, and we have to be aware. We have to use that kindness and humility and let that aroma pass on that person. This is practical ways we want to do this. And sometimes we miss those people. Sometimes they just need to be heard or hugged, or they want to complain. Maybe they need to be encouraged. Whatever it is, that's one way you can honor God with your time, right? Maybe it's the phone call at 11:30 because they just need a friend and you're in the middle of an episode on Netflix. Do you click, you know, the custom response, sorry, can't answer, I'm busy right now. Busy with what? Right? Busy with Netflix. Or when we're in the sea, sometimes maybe it's those down and out people and we don't want to make eye contact with them, like, you know, they have their hand out or they're holding a sign. And I just was shocked again when I was back in Calgary for 2 weeks, just like the panhandlers or people standing at quarters. And I was like, you know, I didn't know I was doing this yet, but again, I suck. So you can remember how to not be like me sometimes, right? And I'm sitting there at West Hills and Tim Hortons. There's this guy, you know, he looks tattered and he's got this sign, wants money for this or that or the other thing. And I'm like, if I just look at the little, you know, Toyota symbol, he won't, you know, no worries. I don't have to look at him, kind of a thing. And every day I had to drive by him. So finally I was like, hey man, like, I don't really want to give you money because I think you might do something else with it. I don't want to sound judgmental. So I'm Matt. Let's grab a whatever, chicken snack wrap or something, right? Sometimes God puts those people in your life because it's more important to show a little bit of love or compassion on those people than to just get to school so that you can learn, so that you can just get on with what you're doing. Sometimes God wants us to take that time. I'd never picked up a hitchhiker. One time, you were going to have a baby, and I was coming to pick her up, and I was excited, and I had nobody to talk to, you know, and, you know, I'm just driving, you can't hear anything in the mountains. I didn't have an iPod or whatever, and I saw this kid standing, and I thought, there's no way he's a hitchhiker, so I picked him up, little German boy. His dad was a pastor, you know, and I'm like, I'm a pastor too. He's like, I'm running away from what my dad and the Lord have said, and I'm like, bro, me too, like, I did that too, and I'm like, I have wanted to pick up a hitchhiker my whole life, but I thought you're going to, like, pull out a you know, it's like, this was the idea, but God just said, you could pick him up. And so I picked up this guy. What a blessing it was to give him, just to share that hour and a half. Did he give me any gas money? No. Was I choked? A little bit, you know? But this is time. And yeah, serious. And I'm glad that you can laugh, because I think that that means that you're recognizing, right? I could have taken that time and just been like, I'm having a baby. Like, I'm so excited. But he got to speak, and we got to share, and we got to encourage, and we got this, like, never remember his name, didn't get him on Facebook, but hey, whatever. Maybe one day we'll knuckle bump in heaven, okay? But we look at these ideas, again, Scripture asks us to serve one another. You know, God, by His Spirit, is promised that He's going to remind us, and He's going to teach us of how He wants us to engage the world. So a couple more ideas of service and sacrifice inside the Bible. Three illustrations to sort of spark you or spur you on or encourage you towards solid Christian living. Offering our time to God. And remembering that we can be refined through this process. Sometimes you'll miss one of those opportunities and it'll bug you enough that the next time you see something similar, you won't forget. Does that make sense? You'll talk to someone you don't want to talk to, and they'll bless your socks off. And then the next time you're in a situation and you sort of do like the angel and the devil, talk to him, don't talk to him, you know, and then you choose to talk to him again instead of miss him. You know, lean on the Spirit rather than thinking that class, you know what I mean? The Bugs Bunny, the angel on my shoulder and the devil on my shoulder, and you sort of have this fight back and forth. Kill the devil, to hell with the devil, and let the Spirit dwell in your heart, and let it just be a conversation. There's nobody on that shoulder. Just the spirit, okay? I know I said to hell with the devil, but that's where he belongs. No Pentecostals? Amen, hallelujah. There, come on. He doesn't want you to hear this, you know. That's the truth. He doesn't want you to hear this. And God's going to put these people in your life this week, and it's going to be incumbent on you to speak to those people and to share with those people and to be like Christ. And if nothing else, you'll be walking along and you'll have one of these situations. You'll be like, that guy at church told me that I should probably do that. And I tried to tell you at the very beginning, I put it in bold. This is not my words. This is from Christ, okay? Strictly out of our Bible, okay? So here we go. Illustrations. You heard me read about slaves serving your masters. Again, in the Old Testament, this was very literal. With Paul, literal. There was slaves, there was slave owners. And I'm not talking about like the American Southeast kind of slaves, okay? In 22, it said this. It's going to be up here. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and with reverence. Not just for the slave owner or the boss or the man, but for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord and not for human masters. Now, whether they, the slave owner, your boss, or your supervisor, etc., fill in the blank, are watching you while you work or watching you while you play, you know, work hard, not just for them to impress them or to collect a paycheck, but for the testimony that you will present for those who see you working hard, even when the eyes are not on you, right? Let that aroma, you know, come off hot and heavy. You know, when you submit yourself to authority, do your job and work despite the injustices maybe, right? The truth will prevail. You know, do it out of humble submission, just as Christ did, right? Do it. Don't be stubborn and don't do it out of pride to spite your boss, but serve your earthly bosses like you're serving the Lord. Right? There's a big difference there. Now, that being said, you don't have to deal with, you know, everything that the tyrant does. There are times you need to turn your cheek. There are times you need to offer some serious grace. But if you need to spend some time in prayer, if you need to have some accountability and, you know, say to your wife or to your accountability person, your friend, how can I approach the slave owner or the boss or the supervisor or whatever and sort of say, hey, can you maybe not crack the whip and just maybe use a verbal whip sometimes? Just say, hey, you know, get your head out of the sand instead of, you know. Does that make sense? Matthew 16:24, Jesus is speaking. He's saying, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money, right? Are you working for the paycheck? You're working for the man and you just got to do it. Or are you doing what you're doing for the man, but really because of the love of God that's in you? That testimony of Christ in your life, working hard when no one's watching. And this idea that Jesus puts forward is drawing us attention to this goal. Working hard for the busting bank account or working diligently to serve the Lord. You can't do both. You'll love one and not the other, or you'll try hard at one and not the other. So you've got to pick them. But this idea of bond servants, Matt wants to remind you that Paul starts talking about these servants. Some of the older ideas is bond servants. And so I wanted to just explain that really quickly so that you have some ideas of what Paul is referencing. Exodus 21, 1 through 6, we read this. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve you for 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go free for nothing. But if the slave says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free, then his master shall bring him to God. He shall bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Give him an earring, per se. Okay? Deuteronomy, again, a retelling of the law. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you for 6 years. In the seventh year, we could talk about seven. In the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty-handed. Furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your wine press. See, this is a slave that you loved, that served you, that you, it's not American slavery that I'm talking about. This is you served 6 years, seventh year, you get to go free. And when they've served you well, you send them on their way, not empty-handed, not without clothing, you know, clothe them, feed them, send them on their way. And just as the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. And you shall remember that you were once a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day. But if he says, I will not go from you because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, then you shall take the awl, put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your slave forever. This is the Old Testament stuff, okay? You are marked with an earring for the Lord. Then we get this idea where Paul talks about a physical circumcision. We have the not PG, so we're just going to, what do? We can just blanket statement. It's a physical marking, kids, and it shows that you are a child of God, that you are chosen, and you are physically marked as God's people, okay? This is what Paul is talking about when he says bondservants and physically marked, earrings and circumcision. Philemon 1:15 is one of the places that you're going to see bondservant. 1 Corinthians 7:17 to 21, some of them will say slave, some of them, translations of your Bible, will say a beloved brother, a servant. But we know that if you look at some of the older translations, Greek, that this is the idea we're talking about, that we are bond servants of Christ, that we have decided that 6 years of service to Christ is good, that we can go free, we can choose to go and do whatever we jolly well feel like doing, but we want to serve one master, so we'll take ourselves to the foot of the cross and let ourselves serve one master. Does that make sense? Old Testament, Exodus, and Deuteronomy, slaves being marked for serving one master. Paul says, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles, they're physically marked as serving one God, one master. And here we are today. We got earrings for different reasons. We do circumcision generally for health reasons. For, you know, we can talk all about that for days. I got that sermon, you know. I got that one a few months ago, right? But really, now here we are. What do we need to do to be a soothing aroma to the Lord? We need to serve the Lord, okay? Key idea expanded. Oh, sorry, I missed Jesus washing the feet, but I want to do this, okay? I got to say the Jesus illustration because he's sort of the trump card. I think it was bad to have to clean a bathroom with, like, Lysol and gloves. But you think, like, Jesus, in total humble service, you know, to his boys, gets down on the knees, and, you know, they're in the desert, they're in the dust, you think you're walking through all this dirt and grime and grossness, and he's their Lord, he's their master, he gets down on his hands and knees, and he washes their feet, and he says, do this for each other, you know, not just the bread and the wine, but do this for each other, remember me in this service, right? Jesus humbly serves this way. That takes time, takes humbleness. Offering our time. This is a key idea at the beginning again. Scripture here. The key idea, offering our time to fulfill God's purposes. The key idea expanded. Offering our time to fulfill God's purposes includes small things and big things. Matt, do the illustration with the golf balls and the rice. It's fun. Okay, here we go. Craft time. I need this too. Kira reminded me. That's the third piece. Okay. I have with me some golf balls. Can I have assistant? Can you help me for a second? Yeah. You have two working hands, yes. Because, you know, I'm not capable of holding all of these at the same time. So here, if I can get them out here. Let me see. Could have got them all out beforehand. Okay. So here we have big things. And here we have small things. Are you good at reading?
Yes.
Can you read my chicken scratch?
Church.
See? So we got church. Oh, we got to do the other ones first. I didn't read my notes. See, you're here. I'm going to hold, you hold all these. Here, you got a hood right here. Look. Just right there. Okay. So before we get to the good things, we have the other things that we most naturally go to, okay? Some of you have seen this, but whatever. In Scripture, we see a little bit of sexual immorality. We play fast and loose with what we do with our stuff. Here we go. We got impurity, foul language. We go to that, I got some free time, so I'm going to binge watch some Netflix or spend a little extra time on myself here at the spa and, you know, maybe tell a mistruth here and do all these things here, and I got all there, but you know what? It's Sunday, so I gotta do some self-improvement. Yeah, there we go. And so I got to get that in there, and you got them back here too. Yeah, here. I wrote on them with washables because they're Pro-Vs, and I don't want to be on the golf course and be like, what do you mean family? Right? Oh, but family's important, so I got to get that in there. And this one says?
Bible study.
Yeah, got to get that in there. And this is service. If I said R&R, do you know what R&R is?
No.
Rest and relaxation. We're out of room, aren't we? And we got, what, four more balls? Nothing left in the hat here. Okay, so we got four more balls, and we can't fit them all in because we've spent all the time with Netflix, and we spent all the time, you know, on the golf course extra. You know, it's not bad golf or vacation or whatever, but you know what I'm saying? Okay, so we got to take those out because we got to make them fit, right? So hold out your hands. We're going to do this. What's your name, man?
Benjamin.
It's going to be a special place in heaven for you. I'll ask. I gotta. Okay, so I'm just gonna put this in here. I hope that's. Yeah, okay, so then this is the illustration that we're trying to come to. Okay, put them in here. Tell me what we got. This one says, who knows what it says? This is an important ball. I washables, right? I can't tell. This one. Joy in enjoying life. You got to enjoy life a little bit. This is important. It's not all about praying and Bible study and whatnot, right? What else we got on there? That is Bible study is important. We got to get that in there. Let's hear what's one of the nice words I wrote down? That word right there.
Compassion.
Any of these. There, compassion. Got to get that ball in. How about that ball right there?
Kindness.
Kindness, we need that. Read the last one because it's the most important one.
Love.
But there's a few more balls. We're going to do this. Okay, then there's humility, gentleness. What was your name again?
Benjamin.
Give Benjamin a great... Thank you, man. Okay. So once we've got all that good stuff in there, you know, then it's okay. You know, we need that extra time for us. We need a little bit of vacation. We need a little bit of golf. I love watching an episode of Life in Pieces with my wife at the end of the day. To get these things in here, the janitor is going to be upset. So I get this all over the place. See, we put it in here, and I still got a bunch more in my cup. But we sort of, you've seen this, right? We shake it all down, tap it all together, sort of like tamping it, and I can still, if I put all the important stuff in there first, you know, and I've still... See? Magic trick. But you know what? You know what? We're missing the third. So there's like three pieces, sevens, threes, twelves. Okay? So we put the important stuff in there. We got it in there. The love, the compassion, the joy, the peace. It's all bound together. And then we get all the fun time, and it's all bound together in love. But there's still going to be more room. You thought we were out. Mind freak. They won't put me on A&E, though. So here we are, right? All that space is taken up. I got another half a ball of water, a bunch of rice, and some golf balls. And that's what we're trying to get ourselves to. Don't knock that over later, okay? That's what we're trying to get ourselves today. By 12 o'clock, you need to learn that lesson. God has given us a life as that jar. He wants us to put those good things in. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, obedience, patience, bound together by the love of Christ. And then all those extras, the vacations, the golf, the spa, you know, the whatever, the new Dubai, whatever that fill in the blank is for you, there's lots of room for it. There's lots of room for it, as long as you do what the Lord wants you to do first.
The last slide, we can skip through that. The last slide is sort of what I want. And we're going to sing. So band's going to come and sing. I wanted to read, there's one more, slide number 20. I'm going to skip it's still small, isn't it? For those of you who can't see it like me without my glasses, let us all strive to give up our freedoms to be bond servants of the Master who treats us well. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who has died for us in our place, who cares about us from the tip of our toes to the last hair on our head. Let our lives be like these living sacrifices that give off smooth aromas to the Lord. Fair enough? Good word? Okay, God, thank you for this word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can share and have fun. Thank you for Benjamin taking a step and trusting me. I know that that's not easy. I pray for everybody here that they would enjoy this, that you would use them to bless the communities that they go home to and this community as well. And just give them a wonderful time, whether you're traveling home today or sticking around and enjoying another day in the sunshine. We love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Amen.